Toodle-loo-ma-loo-ma-toodle-loo-ma-loo-ma-toodle-i-ay. Any umbrellas to mend today. Bring your parasol, it may be small, it may be big.
So let me recap then, for those that can't remember, and for our beloved listeners. So in the last session, we had a number of inciting incidents. We had, of course, we started with Dr. Emery having a, I don't know whether you could call it an enlightening conversation with Paul Fletcher, the physicist, in his hotel room in Liverpool Street.
It was certainly a lively one.
It was a lively one, yes. I think you came away thinking possibly that Paul Fletcher is not the full tickets, but I don't know, that's entirely up to you to determine.
It's a good conversation when Emery comes away from it thinking that the other person was madder than the other person thought that Emery was, so yeah, it's...
That's a good way to put it, that's a good way to put it. And whilst you were away, Milton got a request from a barrow boy to go out and meet a... Well, there was someone waiting in a hansom, in a carriage for him. Not a hansom cab, I think it was a horse-drawn carriage. Turned out to be Jack the Ripper, or at least the manifestation of Jack the Ripper, who, of course, you now know is called Donston, the adventurer Donston, who... Actually, what was his first name? I think it's just Donston. I think I only have Donston. Anyway, either way.
I think you only told us Donston. That's all I have in my notes.
Yeah. So it seemed like Donston has some plans for you, Milton. I think his hope, his fervent hope, was that you would carry out his work for him, because he hadn't quite got round to finishing it. I don't think he ever explained why that was the case, but it seems like there's quite a few more pieces of work that need to be done to complete his working. And it's something to do... Did I tell you this? I'll tell you anyway, even if I didn't. It's something to do with opening the eye. It seems like his murders were mapping out some kind of psychogeography of the East End of London. And he very much would like you to carry on his good works. You, on the other hand, decided that you wanted nothing to do with it and jumped out of the moving carriage, took a great big tumble, and was helped up by a very kindly streetwalker. That was purely coincidental, of course, that it was potentially the victim that Jack wished you to start your business with.
Any relative of yours?
Who, what?
A streetwalker.
Why?
Because you're always banging on about the fact you grew up in this neighbourhood.
Well, given that, no.
In all of our ancestry, I'm sure we've all got...
Yes.
One or two in there?
Yeah. I didn't grow up in this neighbourhood. My dad grew up. Well, I suppose it could... Anyway, let's move on. So Milton, I think, rather shaken, headed back to Watson's Antiquities, where he rejoined Dr. Emery. Meanwhile, Rita and Wally had decided that, given there was an auction coming, they wanted to look their best. And in between trying on frocks, they were figuring out how to hide a shotgun inside a wheelchair, which caused... rather an unfortunate accident. You blasted a hole through the ceiling and floor of your upstairs neighbour and precipitated an encounter with the police, which you came inches away from. I think you were inches away from disaster, but you managed to pull yourselves back from the brink.
It's miraculous, isn't it?
It was miraculous.
It was a bit of an oopsie.
It was a bit of an oopsie. But you do have now a fully armed wheelchair to take to the auction.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see that in action. I really can't wait to see that in action. I mean, I do hope you carry through the auction and don't just start firing as soon as you get there. That's my only hope, Rita.
Oh, no, darling.
Me personally, Barney, I watched North by Northwest not that long ago, so I'm good.
Okay. Is there an auction in North by Northwest?
Yeah.
There is? Oh, yeah, and he's trying to communicate something... through the... I can't remember.
He's trying not to get killed.
He's trying not to get killed during the auction. Yes, yes. I love that film, but it's been years since I've seen it. Right, and then we ended with a phone call from Birgit von Kant, who told you, Milton, that she has de Castries and that he won't last long if you wanted to come round and speak to him. Seems like he's probably in a spot of bother. And that's where we ended. So, yes. And I believe it is... I think it's the morning of the auction. Or is it the night before? I think it's the morning of the auction, yes. So it's probably about, I don't know, 11 a.m. right now. 12 a.m. Let's say it's midday. Let's say it's midday when you got that phone call. So, yeah, you're all back at HQ.
I do rather suppose we'd better stop this human sacrifice. As unpleasant a man as de Castries is, I'm not entirely sure I can in all good conscience, leave him to such a fate?
Well, how about I'd call her back and perhaps suggest that we need him for other purposes? Maybe we could swing by there and get him out of there, perhaps.
Perhaps. The only reservation I have on that front is that De Castries himself is something of a snake. He has obviously attempted malicious action against Miss Wally here, and has possibly been responsible for other deaths. And if we were to rescue him, I doubt very much we could trust him.
We could cut his tongue out and chop his fingers off so he can't write or speak, and then he'd thank us because he wouldn't be dead. Rita goes back to polishing her guns.
But maybe we shouldn't go to those extremes. Surely once De Castries...
That's terribly messy.
...is in our possession, and I'm a little worse for wear, I imagine, that maybe he could be persuaded, I don't know, to see things from our perspective, perhaps.
He could become a shadow of his former self or something like that, so he wouldn't really know the day of the week or anything anymore, like a vegetable.
And how do you propose we achieve that?
Sorry, you're both talking at once. I don't know who to answer first.
No, please, Wally.
Rita, darling, I do appreciate your can-do attitude and a real proactive spirit of achievement. However, what use is a mean vegetable to us in the end? I mean, I'd almost rather him get sacrificed than end up...
An angry carrot, a pissed off Brussels sprout.
My grandfather went on for years.
Right, and did you enjoy having him around for all those years?
No, he was a mean vegetable.
Right.
Well, I suppose we did get his pension.
Oh. Well, that's something, for sure. I don't believe we'll get Mr. De Castries's pension, if indeed it exists. He does believe he has a birthright to the very volume that you are seeking. Do you think that Mr. De Castries would be interested in perhaps trading his birthright for his life?
Interesting.
So not marriage.
What?
Not marriage.
What are you proposing?
Oh, good heavens, no.
Okay.
No.
But I think that leads us back to the quandary that we started this with, which is if we do rescue him and attempt to negotiate with him to some degree so that perhaps he either withdraws from the auction or perhaps even agrees to work with us and operate as our agent here, we're somewhat hesitant to trust him as he is a treacherous worm.
I say, you know, we should leave him to his fate.
But then we have to live with the fact that we have arranged for a man to suffer one of the most horrible deaths imaginable, even if he is an objectionable human being.
Yes, and I certainly feel responsible for that.
Yes, that I think is because you and I are responsible for that.
How about we ensure that he doesn't attend the auction?
I've got two words for you all, and it's Deke Thornton. I have no remorse whatsoever.
Alternatively, we could simply rescue him from the sacrifice and keep him prisoner until after the auction. Deal with the situation as it comes up then, but I would like to just posit the idea that it is far easier to rescue him and then deal with the possibility of having to kill him later than let him die now and realize later that we shouldn't have done so.
Yes.
Very wise.
If it helps, I'll give you some, just out of character, some mechanical options to think about as well. So obviously, taking him out of the orc, if he's out, then that's obviously one less person you're up against. So clearly that enhances your odds just by that fact, obviously. If, on the other hand, you manage to somehow ally yourselves or get something from him, whatever that is, that will give you an actual advantage on top of that. You'll get like a bonus dice or something in your roll. So it's up to you how you play it from there. But certainly, if you want to enhance your chances in the auction, getting him on your side in the same way that you've got Birgit on your side, or at least theoretically on your side, it will improve your chances.
Could we hypnotize him so he buys the book for a foundation which we've just set up.
That is an intriguing idea, Miss Rita, and one worthy of future study at a later date, perhaps.
Shall I make the call?
Yes. I think beyond all else, we need to stop the sacrifice. As I said, it is far easier to stop than attempt to reverse.
What about the crazy lady? Thinks that Milton's some kind of big fella.
Well, I'm going to use that to my advantage now. I'm going to call her up and explain that he is required for greater ends.
Yes.
So she can just carry on doing whatever it is she's doing. That's not a challenge or anything like that to...
Look, listen. I will ask her to halt whatever she's doing to the man, and we shall collect him, and then we decide what happens after that.
Or what's left of him. What's left of him.
Hurry up! She might have chopped his willy off by now.
Well, you know, there are still things, pleasures of this life that don't require a willy.
It's always pie.
Per se. But you know, I do have some rather good photography equipment, and I'm wondering if perhaps he would be willing to work with us if we were to give him, say, a photographic record of the book. If we could sort of share the book by making a copy of it for him, or leading him to believe that he would get the original and we would get a copy.
Yes, I think that is a sterling idea, but I think our first priority should be to stop him being sacrificed so that we can propose this idea to him, because otherwise it is rather academic.
Oh yes. Well, he shouldn't be dead. In order for this to work, he needs to not be dead.
Exactly.
So what I would suggest, Milton, is perhaps we talk to Miss Van Kant about the necessity for Mr. de Castries to take part in the auction to ensure that we get hold of this book in order to further fulfill the glorious destiny of Ergolinac.
Indeed. Brilliant. I shall make the call. Be quiet, Rita.
Marvellous.
So you pick up Emery's phone. You pick up the receiver of Emery's phone. Perhaps brush off a few cat hairs from the mouthpiece. I'm not sure what Melpomene was doing on the phone, but she obviously has her own agenda.
It's better not to ask.
And if I was being a real bastard, I'd say, how do you know her number? Because you never at any point ask for a phone number. But let's assume that just in the manner of...
This is the 1930s. You just pick up the phone, talk to the operator and ask to be put through.
You tell them what neighborhood they're in and you say, I'm looking for blah, blah, street 3.
Absolutely true. Okay, so you call through to the operator and she dials you in to the Von Kant residence on Upper Street in Islington. The phone rings quite a number of times, maybe 5 or 6 times. And then the receiver picks up and a rather breathless Birgit says, and then you hear this screaming coming from the background.
At least he's still alive.
I'd like to speak to Miss Von Kant, please.
That is me. You have got through to the Birgit. Is that the master?
It is.
Oh, master, you should be here. It is glorious. It is glorious. This is the greatest sacrifice we have ever made. His body is... Wonderful.
I don't doubt that for a second, but I'm calling because I wish to halt proceedings.
And then you hear another very loud and agonized scream.
Halt? But why? This is what you wanted, is it not, Master?
I require our friend for some other purposes before this is completed. Yes, I understand that. But I have faith in you, Von Kant, that you would be able to do that for me.
Another loud scream comes from the back room.
Well, I will try my best, but I may need some assistance from you and from your companion. I have limited control over this creature, you see. I bring them, but they must eat, you see. They must eat, and they like to eat slowly, piece by piece.
We all like to eat. But if you could just sate their appetites, for a little longer.
Ah, yavor, yavor.
Me and my companion will be along shortly, and we will collect the Castries as we require him in order to procure the book.
Oh, yeah, I see, I see. To set the appetite, I will go and get an urchin from the street. Yes, that will do, a little snack.
And then she puts the phone down.
Thank you.
So, did that go according to plan then, Milton?
I think so. I think we're certainly, things have been set in motion. And I'm hoping that we can bring those things to a halt and collect the Castries. And I suggest that we do that sooner rather than later.
Well, yes, we only have 6 hours until we're expecting that phone call telling us where the auction is, so there is no time to waste.
Indeed, indeed.
You might want to take a wheelbarrow with you.
Okay.
Well, we do have a wheelchair.
Mm.
Rita, would you be able to walk back, dear?
Well, and she'll stand up out of the chaise longue and take a few steps towards one of the bookshelves and lean on it. It's the guns that I'd be worried about, the Castries. I've just polished them all.
How about if you were perhaps to at least unload the guns for the moment? Would that be a workable compromise?
On the Castries?
That would rather defeat the object of what we're doing.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
Right. Shall we travel over to see Miss Van Kant before anything else is devoured?
Let's do it.
So the guns go in a suitcase under the chaise longue. And obviously I should ride in the wheelchair to the house, ready with a walking stick, ready to walk home. Are we going by carriage?
Sure. Just so you know, you are able to walk and your major wound has actually been dealt with.
I don't know how many times you've got to tell this to people. I'm convalescing.
Okay.
Okay?
Just... I mean, yeah, fine. One thing I will permit you all to do is to make a luck refresh, because we're getting to the sharp end of the story, to the pointy end of the story. So you probably all should...
I failed it. That's good. I failed it.
I got an extreme.
That's good.
I also failed.
Of course you did. But you're actually not too bad at the moment, Emery. 44 isn't terrible. I mean, you've been a lot worse than that.
Yes.
Oh, and Spencer and Milton. Yeah, so, yeah. Or you.
What is it if you fail? You get a what? Is it a D10?
D10.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Emery.
It's the giddy heights of 29 now.
Ooh. 8. Add that to my 40.
Okay, well, let's hope you don't have to make a group luck roll at any point with 29. So, Milton, you're on 34. Wally, ooh, 52. Look at that. Okay.
Yes.
Ooh. And you went up to 29, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right, so you get into a cab, into a hansom cab, and trundle north about, it's probably about, what, 2-3 miles to Islington from where you are? Maybe not even that far. In fact, I think it's west, sort of westish. Anyway.
Yeah, it's northwest from here.
You sure you're taking us the short way?
Yeah. you head west to Upper Street, Islington, and the elegant facade of Birgit von Kant's house greets you, but you all know that there are dark things going on inside.
Rita is going to dishevel herself in the wheelchair and hold Milton's hand. So being pushed in the wheelchair, just kind of...
Faint.
No, looking very kind of engaged in some higher activity.
Okay.
Maybe I should have looked a bit more, I don't know, with it. That maybe, I don't know.
And I think Emery is going to drain one of the 3 hip flasks he has on his person prior to going in.
Fortify yourself.
Indeed.
I'll tell you what, we never do this, but I'll let you make a constitution roll.
Mm.
And if you... I think it should be if you fail rather than if you pass. We'll just make a constitution roll.
Okay. Yeah, I failed there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. So that means you are a little bit tipsy, because every time you drink, your cast iron constitution for alcohol is somewhat protects you. But what I'll do is, given that you're slightly drunk, I'll give you a penalty on any dexterity-related rolls, but you'll get a bonus dice on any sanity rolls you have to make.
Fantastic. That seems fair.
Yeah, that definitely seems fair. I think that actually is in the rules somewhere. I can't remember exactly how it works, but it's something like that. Maybe it's pulp, but either way. I know that heroin gives you a bonus on your sanity rolls.
Okay.
Which makes sense, sort of.
What pork scratchings, though?
Not that I'm encouraging anyone.
Don't do heroin, kids.
This episode has been sponsored by heroin.
And Mr. Piggies.
No, I was just going to say, I snaffle a handful of pork scratchings that I found secreted about my person. And as my own form of Dutch courage. And then rap on the door.
Okay, so there's a sound of shuffling and scuffling inside, and the door opens, and a manservant says, Mr. Blythe, you're expected. Who are these two ladies you have brought with? Miss Von Kant didn't say you would be accompanied.
I assumed...
You truly expect the master to travel without an entourage? I'm sorry, your ignorance is no excuse for such rudeness.
He immediately blushes and then sort of backs away and opens the door. Says, of course, how foolish of me. I'm terribly sorry, I didn't mean to insult you. I will pay penance tonight in my chamber. As he kind of bows and retreats from the corridor backwards. And you can hear faint sobbing coming from an interior room. And a door opens and a blood-spattered Birgit von Kant emerges. And she says, Oh, master, it is wonderful. He's still alive. I did what you asked. In the end, no urchin was available, so I gave him one of the servants. I hope that is adequate for you.
I'm sure that will suffice. So, can I see our friend?
Well, if you wish to step forward this way, you see the Nagai is somewhat angry. We have prevented it from consuming the victims that we brought him here for, so you must understand, he is naturally somewhat disappointed.
Oh, well.
In this matter. Maybe, of course, with your great powers, you can reassure him that it is all is well and he may return to his dimension and all will be equilibrium. Yeah?
I'm sure he'll get over it. So, where is the Castries?
And you don't really need to ask the question because there's this seepage of blood coming out of the open door from the room from which she emerged, and you hear this groaning and sobbing from inside, and then you hear this sort of squelching, thumping, rumbling sound. And Rita, that sounds to you very familiar, of course.
Hey, yeah.
I suppose we had better come to do what we came here to do.
Yeah, so basically, I just want to get in and out as quickly as possible. We'll grab the Castries, throw him in the chair, and then we'll be off. Yeah?
Yes.
Let's hope it's that straightforward.
Rita's looking at Emery as if to say, a purely academic exercise as outlined by an academic.
I'm sure everything will be all right. And with that, Emery's going to go into the room.
Okay. Emery, you stride forward into the room. Birgit kind of turns and follows you in. Obviously, she may be somewhat concerned about the dangers within. What about you, Milton? Are you following up behind, or...?
I have to, really, don't I?
I think you do, don't you?
Yes.
The ladies, it's entirely your choice whether you go into the...
I'm not letting go of Milton's hand. It's all part of the act.
I squeeze your hand.
Well, I'm not very well going to stay out here all by myself. I go in wheeling the wheelchair.
My wheelchair won't move on its own.
Yes, I'm wheeling the wheelchair and sort of looking about.
So you enter the room, and at first it's hard to make out exactly what's been going on in there because it is dark, but the smells and the sounds and the glistening form in the centre, obscuring your view of De Castries, tells you all you need to know. This is another one of those awful creatures that Birgit seems to be able to summon up at will from the dark waters of London. And I think, I'm not sure if Wally has ever seen one of these before. It's like a multi-eyed, squatting toad-like creature with great long mandibles, serrated mandibles and endless mouths, and it has a long, slavering, serrated-edged tongue that it seems to be bowing its head and lapping at the floor, drawing up quantities of blood. And as it bobs its head down, you see the mangled form of Dacastres, his clothes shredded, wounds all over his chest and arms. And it seems like the lower part of his left leg is just gone. There's ragged flesh and his thigh bone, the end of his thigh bone, just poking out the end of this torn and ragged stump. And the creature is stripping away pieces of this lower leg on the ground. And Dacastres is just letting out this low, soft moaning sound.
The servant.
There's a pair of shoes left of the servant, let us say, and not much else.
I assume the shoes aren't empty.
The shoes aren't empty, yes. Okay. Yes. There's just a couple of bloody foot stumps poking up out of the shoes.
What else is in the room, please, Andy?
Do you need anything else? I don't know if they need anything else.
Yeah, I can't imagine much else has got to trump that.
Well, I'm wondering, did Rita put all of the guns in the suitcase and leave them under the chaise longue, or did she bring something?
You've got a walking stick.
Yeah.
I mean, I would suspect that even at this point, Wally knows Rita's proclivities and would have possibly checked the wheelchair to make sure that she hadn't secreted something away. I mean, she has casually suggested murder on at least 3 or 4 different occasions in the 24 hours that we've known each other, so...
Has it only been 24 hours? Fantastic. Before, though, you can do anything else, I will need a sanity roll from all of you.
I was waiting for that, yes.
Yep, that was coming.
I've already faced one of these down, though, haven't I? Do I have to roll sanity again?
You do. There is a limit to how much sanity you can lose from a single creature, though. So, well, first of all, Dr. Emery, you do get a bonus dice on that.
Oh, yes.
So you need a 1 or a 0.
I'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
I am not fine.
Unfortunately, you're not fine. You rolled double 48s.
Mm.
Milton.
Yes.
Also, I think this is a step too far for you as well. But Wally, I don't know.
I'm fine. This is not my first rodeo. I'm very well travelled, and Father took me to many inappropriate places.
Yeah. So those are you that passed.
Rita's passed.
Oh, did Rita pass?
Yeah, 45 against 63, so that's good.
So Rita and Astrid, you both lose 2 sanity.
Astrid?
Wally.
Well, nobody calls me that. It's fine.
Sorry, Wally.
Only my mother calls me Astrid, and we don't talk of her.
So Wally and Rita, you both lose 2. Dr. Emery and Milton.
D10.
I'm afraid it's
D8.
D8.
Oh, a D8.
No, it's a D8. It's a D8.
5.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Oh. Right, so that's Emery indefinitely insane.
Really?
Emery indefinitely insane, and I think...
How can we tell?
It's not permanently insane. There's a difference. There's another level to go to, but indefinitely insane...
I have an idea how that might play out if you're game.
You can absolutely do that. So, Milton, you need to make an intelligence roll because you're possibly about to have a bout of madness as well.
Right, okay.
And I've definitely got an idea for how you're about... Yes, you passed your intelligence roll.
That's bad, isn't it?
So, Milton, the spirit of Jack enters you, and you reach in your pocket for that knife that you've been carrying around all this time, that straight razor. I'll leave the rest to you. But Dr. Emery, how does this play out for Dr. Emery?
I think there is this frozen moment as he's standing there looking at the atrocity in this room and this hideous creature. And there's that momentary pang of guilt as he realises his own complicity there. But then just this desire to blame someone else. And of course, Birgit von Kant is the likely target. So just without even realizing it, without even knowing where the words are coming from some of the weird readings that he's done at these various books, he's just going to start spitting out weird alien syllables in the direction of this creature and to try to command it to devour Birgit von Kant.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I believe you're mythos hardened, though, now, aren't you? Hang on, have we...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Ah.
Yeah, my sanity has only just now gone below my Cthulhu mythos.
Right.
My Cthulhu mythos has just gone up to 22 and my sanity is 19.
Okay, right. So I think we talked about it being a possibility because it would have been a shame to retcon that. But from now on, you only take half the amount, as we know. Anyway, yes. Well, let's say that's going to take a little moment. Well, I think we'd like to see what Milton does next with the straight razor that he's fondling in his pocket.
I'm wondering. Because of this creature,
not too adventurously, like you're not fiddling with it too actively, I hope.
Well, he is having a bit of madness. So.
Seeing that the creature is occupied chewing on one of the pony's detached leg, I'm wondering if maybe I should keep the creature occupied by trying to detach his other leg, maybe, you know, just to give us a bit more time. Perhaps.
Yeah, amazing. You've been in the butchery trade now for a while now with your pies. You know how to...
Oh, I know where to cut, yes.
You know how to cut up a leg, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You know where the tendons are, you know where the tibia meets the fibia.
I say to De Castries, yeah. I'll make it quick.
You'll be fine. So you circle round this glistening form that... You can only help but admire the precision with which it has done its work. It seems to have a very accurate way of slicing up bodies, and perhaps you nod a bit of appreciative nod to it as you walk past. And as you approach De Castries, his eyes flicker open, and he looks up and he says, "Please, you must save me. Please, monsieur. I never meant not to cause any harm to any of you. Please, please."
Well, then can I sort of plunge the knife in? I guess I'm going to go for the sort of the knee and just say, it's for the best. And start trying to do something there.
And as you're slicing through the tendon and the muscle and getting the razor right in between the joints of the bones, and you're taking great pride in your work, and the screams of De Castries are like a symphony, a joyous ode, a symphony of pain that is giving you a sense of deep fulfillment, and that this is where you're meant to be. This is where you do your best work, in the dark, covered in blood, with the scream of your victim echoing around the streets of London. And he eventually passes out from the pain, and then you stand there with your neatly bisected leg, lower part of the leg, in your arms, cradled like a newborn babe.
Good job we brought that chair.
Actually, he would now fit neatly into a wheelbarrow as well, actually, so that would have also been good.
Maybe there's one in the garden.
Yeah, because you know how the legs always hang over the end and it's always a bit, but now he'll just go just nice and sweet.
He could even sit in the other way around, couldn't he, you know, quite comfortably.
Well, now I've said that that's all happened, that's fine. But I would like to understand a little bit about what Rita and Wally are thinking or doing whilst they see this. Perhaps they're distracted by Emery starting to chant strange consonants and syllables and vowels. But do you see? You know what, you can decide whether you're watching intently what Milton is doing. Tell me what you're doing whilst this is going on.
I'm looking everywhere. This is all terrible. This is all terrible, right? But I never meant to harm anyone. Bullshit. Bullshit, sir. You meant to harm me, and you failed. If you come for an elephant, sir, you best not miss. So, I don't know. I think this is terrible, but it's all gone very far. But, you know, I've been involved in some weird scenes, so it's just like, well, you know, sometimes things go too far. You know, we take things a little bit further than we mean to, but, you know, it all works out in the end. It's fine.
Very good. And what about you, Rita?
Rita is, you know, is not often right. You know, there's often a bit of space for her to do her own things in her own way, but she's not often right. And she just feels absolutely vindicated, especially with Emery just completely losing it, that this was an absolutely shit idea. And seeing this creature that I fought off before that put me in hospital, which meant I had to convalesce and all of this stuff, it's kind of like, I knew it. I don't want to say I told you so, but I'm going to say it. And I think Rita is going to just kind of leap up out of the chair and make just this massive kind of primal scream and just rush up to this creature with her gun that she's so happy that she's got and just bury it in the blubber and just start shooting it point blank.
Good grief. All right. I wasn't expecting that. Well, I suppose I should have, but I wasn't.
I was.
It's pure Rita.
You'll thank me later. You'll thank me later.
Okay, well.
Will we, though? Will we?
Yeah. Birgit, I think, is just a bit taken aback by proceedings. I don't think she was expecting her master to then go and, well, I suppose, even up the playing, you know, level the playing field, I suppose. If you've lost half of one leg, you might as well take the other one off just to get everything nice and neat and symmetrical. But she's a bit taken aback by that.
I like symmetry.
Yeah. Symmetry, yeah, fearful symmetry.
We haven't dealt with Emery turning on Birgit, have we?
I know.
So
no, because that's going to come in a moment.
Okay.
She wasn't expecting that. She's also perhaps surprised to hear an incantation being vocalized by Dr. Emery. And seeing a young lady leap up out of a wheelchair and try and attack one of her summonings, I think it's all very confusing to her. So she's frozen for a moment, just totally unsure of what to do. But she may well act in the next round. So let's do it like this. I think we will start with Emery, because an incantation is probably the quickest thing to do rather than pulling out a gun, because you didn't have it in your hand. So, well, I suppose you do know some spells already.
I was just going for spontaneous use of the Cthulhu Mythos here.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you just want to make a Cthulhu Mythos roll then. Okay, well, go for it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Is it worth 20 luck? Or possibly a push?
I am tempted by the sheer comedy value of pushing it. But on the other hand, I really quite fancy the idea of taking control of this creature. It's going to be funnier if I push it, and I am in a bat of madness, so I'll do that. As Emery finds himself struggling to exert his will on this creature, what he's going to do is, it sounds like this thing has chewed up bits of the unfortunate Dicastri's leg, so I imagine there are a few shards of bone around. So Emery's just going to grab one of the broken shards of bone that's been chewed out of Dicastri's femur and grab it, take the sharp end of it and tear down his own arm to create a blood offering to better control this creature.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. And the bloody shard of bone commingles with the blood streaming out of your forearm, and the pain gives you this intensification of your chanting. Almost the pitch rises. So let's see.
Okay, well, with this being a push roll, one way or another, something interesting is going to happen.
Something interesting is definitely going to happen. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yes, something interesting, but not something good.
Something interesting is definitely going to happen. There's always a fun thing you can do, which is to roll on the spell miscasting table. But let's say that rather than adding more random bullshit to what's going on, let's keep it within the confines of this house and the creatures where within. So you finish chanting the words, the syllables, those alien sounding consonants all jumbled together. And for a brief moment, you gain control over this thing. You get a deep insight into what it is. Somehow you realize that it is an extrusion or a servitor or even a parasite, perhaps, on the body of Biatis, of the god buried beneath the city. They bubble up like bits of like viral matter being expelled from a sick body. Yes, and you somehow get an understanding that they lurk all over the city, in the rivers, in the sewers, buried underground, and it's a horrifying moment of realization that these things are always somehow within a few feet of you, no matter where you walk in this smoky old town. But that moment passes as you realize that all you've managed to do is redirect its attention onto all of you. It drops the bit of leg and it turns its hideous squirming bulk.
Yes, that's it. Turn away from her. Turn away from her. You have a new target now. Exert your fury upon it.
And whilst it is like turning towards Birgit, you realise that you've lost total control of it, and it starts opening up its mandibles, it starts opening up its claws and opening up its mouths, and its long serrated tongue starts unfurling from its mouth, and it's just going to go into a frenzy. You can feel its anger and even its fear, because for a moment you took control of it. But somehow you've found and forged in your madness a connection to Biatis, which may prove useful if you survive.
Yeah.
So, Rita, you can act next. As you realise now that this thing is not going to be defenceless, and you know how awful its claws and teeth are, but you've plunged your gun straight into its squamous bulk.
Squamous bulk? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Squamous.
And okay. It's a Lovecraft. He uses it far too often. I don't really know exactly what it means, but I think it's appropriate in this case.
It means scaly.
Scaly, okay, then it isn't appropriate because frogs aren't scaly. But maybe it is a bit scaly. Yes, so you bury the nose of your pistol into its squamous bulk. And, of course, you're at point-blank range, so you will get a bonus dice. So do you want to fire three times or just the once?
Three times, I think.
It's up to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good. It's my little revolver. Why the hell not?
Okay, well, you will get just a regular roll then because you're at point blank range. Although the thing is large as well. I think, no, let's just make three regular rolls. Let's just make three regular rolls.
So three regular rolls with a bonus dice.
No, because you get a penalty for firing three times.
Oh, I see.
And the point blank cancels out the penalty.
Okay, fantastic. Here we go. Here goes. Blam, 47 against 50.
Okay.
85.
That's not going to do it.
And 40.
Okay, well, your first two rounds go deep into its hide. The third one, perhaps the recoil from the first two shots, just jogs your hand up and you fire into the ceiling. Perhaps you're panicking a bit as well. Now, what kind of pistol have you got? What kind of revolver have you got? How much damage?
It's a Smith & Wesson D10.
Oh, it does a D10. Okay. Right. Well, you better roll high.
Any bonus for point blank? No, that was just... No. Okay.
You would have if you'd have got an extreme, but you didn't roll well enough.
Okay, here we go. 8.
Not bad.
8.
Wow. Well, you felt this sort of somewhat... I'm not sure how you would have felt it, but you felt a resistance in its thick hide as the bullets plough in and its blackish blood spurts out over your hand, covering your hand and upper arm.
It's a bit like a walking waterbed. That's my feeling of this thing.
It is indeed. And you've done pretty well there. It does have armour, which obviously reduced some of the impact, but it lets out this hideous croak. And the smell of 1,000 open sewers just engulfs you from its wide open maw.
No, Miss Rita, don't hurt it. I'm trying to redirect its fury. You're undoing all the good that I'm doing here.
Now, Wally, what would you like to do?
Okay, where is Mr. DeCastri right now? Is he in the wheelchair yet?
No, he's still...
He's in surgery.
He's still having his leg removed. I would say that probably takes the best...
Okay, so Milton is still dealing with him.
Yeah, I'd say it would take a couple of rounds to neatly remove a leg.
With a straight razor? Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. You really...
Yeah, you got to get through a lot of...
Yeah, you really need a boning knife for that. Milton, if you're going to be doing these sorts of jobs, you need to...
Yeah, or saw, a bone saw.
Okay, well, obviously, my first instinct would have been to throw DeCastri into the wheelchair and be like, well, I'll be off. This is my cue, but unfortunately I can't do that yet. So I think I'm going to opt for just staring slack-jawed at how all of this has gone terribly pear-shaped and backing towards the nearest exit while keeping my eyes firmly attached to what's happening.
Very good. Very good. Running away is always a good choice.
Yep.
And then the creature just shakes its head from side to side. Its eyes are swiveling around. It's looking for the source of the most agony and torment to itself. And I would say it's most likely going to be Rita, but let's see. Let's see. I'll roll a dice. I would say that Rita is probably at least, you got probably at least double the chance of being targeted compared to anyone else, given that you've just sunk two bullets into its body. But let's see. There's Rita.
Alistair Blood? Dark, you said.
Black, yeah.
Black. I think I've just got this black blood all over my face.
Okay, so I'm going to roll a D10. I don't know.
Like Martin Sheen in Apocalypse Now coming out of the water.
On a 1 to 4, it's going to be you, Rita, and then the others are just a 2 in 5, 2 in 10 chance. Oh, it's not. Rita has escaped, and in fact, that is Birgit. This has worked out very well for you.
Ah, I did exert control over it.
Yes, you did. You can definitely tell yourself that. And it's... How many attacks does this thing get? I didn't check. Oh, Jesus, it's got 4 attacks, doesn't it? Claw 2.
I think, wouldn't it just swipe at Rita to get her out of the way? You know, like, get out of here, I'm going over there.
It would probably have to do that, but what I also didn't realise is it gets 4 attacks and it can attack 2 different people, so you may not have escaped, Rita, because I need to roll again. Another D10. Oh, but you have escaped. Unfortunately, though, that is going to be Milton.
I love the way that Emery stirred this creature up and it's attacking everyone except him.
It's attacking everyone else. So, yeah, I think it does sort of buffet you out of the way, Rita, and it's going to do claw and a bite on each of you. So, first of all, it lashes out towards Birgit and misses with its claw. Maybe it's too dark in the room. And then it lunges forward and tries to sink its serrated teeth into the top of her head and gets an extreme. Okay. It does 6 damage to Birgit, which is probably enough to cause her a major wound.
All right.
It's her brain showing.
So no damage bonus on that?
No, it's just a D6.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've probably underpowered... The thing is, I converted it from Trail of Cthulhu, and I think I probably... It's very hard to convert, to be honest, but they're not that powerful compared to other creatures, so I figured. But however, its bite is poisonous. So, let's see. She has to make a constitution roll, otherwise she's probably dead. Oh, well, I rolled a 99, and... The teeth, so this creature lurches forward. Its first lashing claw missed her, and then it loomed over her, sunk its teeth into the top of her head, and Birgit's eyes roll up in her head, and she lets out a strangled scream as this green venom is just pumped from the venom glands of this creature straight through into her brain, through her punctured skull. And she goes a very strange colour. Hard to tell exactly what colour it is in this light. And she just sinks down and then just drops like a stone to the floor, completely dead, just gone. And the creature, seemingly pleased with its work, turns towards Milton. Now, Milton, you can, of course, defend yourself. You can try and dodge. You can also try and fight back in either case, but let's see what happens.
I'm not preoccupied with my own work.
I mean, yeah, if you want to just stand there and let this thing attack you, that's fine as well.
Well, you know, I mean, he's had a good run, Milton.
He has, hasn't he? This would be a way to go, wouldn't it?
Is it possible to defend somebody else?
It just seems odd that if I'm doing this and this is going on behind me, I assume...
Not really.
...that I would even acknowledge that it's going for me.
Yes. Okay.
I was thinking about Milton's medallion as well.
I'm not sure. I think I'm a bit... There's a lot going on at the moment.
There is a lot going on.
But, well, let's say I sense that it's coming for me and I turn to face it. This one's mine.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. And the creature seemingly doesn't agree with you as its lumbering bulk edges towards you and you see the movement in the darkness of the room. You see its claw unfurling and swishing towards you. But it misses. Now, would you like to fight back or would you like to dodge? I mean, you don't need to dodge because it's missed. But if you fight back, you won't be able to dodge the next attack. Or you could, you know, wait and see what happens.
I might wait and see what happens. I'm just imagining myself standing there, knife in hand, in a kind of a anticipating its next move.
Also, given that you're possessed by the spirit of Jack, I will give you a little bit of a boost on your combat roll. Because Jack, if nothing else, is good with a straight razor. Okay, and then it tries to bite you. That is a hit. Just. Now, what do you want to do? You can try and dodge, which means you just need to get a regular success. Or you could fight back, but you would need to beat its level, which means you need to get a hard success. I will give you a bonus dice, though, on your roll, because of Jack's spirit.
That's what I'm doing.
So roll the dice, and then you can narrate what happens. Okay, well, before you narrate it, here's your options. Either that's a fail, or you could spend 28 luck and make that a success.
I might make it a fail.
Yeah? Okay.
I'm kind of flailing around and not connecting. I'm just sort of frantically slashing. Probably more concerned with trying to preserve my piece of work behind me.
And maybe it's tough hide, actually. Just the straight razor just slips off its slick, tough hide and you don't manage to connect. And then the looming bulk lowers itself down onto you and its teeth, its serrated, vicious teeth, sink into the upper part of your shoulder. And we are about to roll some damage. One hit point of damage you took.
Blimey.
One hit point. However, although the puncture wound itself is not deep, you suddenly feel this terrible burning feeling as this green poison is pumped through your muscle into your bloodstream. And you need to make a constitution roll. Wow. Just. Yeah. You just made it. So you will only take half damage from this. And you won't go unconscious. You can see now, I'm about to roll 2d6.
Ooh, yeah.
You got really lucky because this could have easily killed you. Well, I rolled a 7. So you take another 4 points of damage from this terrible burning sensation, this poison being pumped into you. It makes your shoulder sort of freeze up for a second, but it's not enough to take you down. You grit your teeth and you can now try and attack this monstrous form in front of you.
Right, well, I'm going to plunge my razor into it.
Okay, and you will get a bonus dice again.
Do I roll the
purple,
again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This time, no doubt, you'll get... Well, you're just about getting your blow in. So you slice at it. Okay, so roll a d6 and a d4. Jack's knife is, it's a good knife. Maybe even a magical knife. Okay, 4. Okay, 5.
Oh, it's a razor blade.
Yeah. Well, it's like a straight razor, isn't it? Like a...
Is that a knife?
One of them. The knife this time manages to penetrate the thick, blubbery hide of the creature, and a spray of black blood goes all over your face. And it doesn't please you, Milton, because blood's meant to be red, isn't it?
Mm. I bet it tastes wrong, too.
Yeah, just... Lick your lower lip and yeah, that's no good. Now, Wally, you have retreated out of the room, but you can clearly see that your friends are in a degree of danger here. Do you wish to do anything or are you just going to flee? I'm not putting any moral pressure on you whatsoever.
Okay, so I have no weapons. I have moderate jiu-jitsu skills. I have a constitution of 30. So, however, now that Milton has his attentions on the creature, I would like to salvage, you know, whatever I could from this outing. Is it possible for me to scoop Mr. just shove him into the chair and start running as fast as we can away from this place?
Absolutely. I think you'll need to unstrap him first, so I would like you to make a dexterity roll.
Oh dear. Well, that's going to go poorly because my dexterity is also 30. So, here we go.
Unstrap him. What's he...
Oh, it's a critical success. I rolled a 1.
Yay.
The one time, you know.
Amazing.
Like, this is fine motor skills, you see, and not gross motor skills. I'm actually pretty good with those. So.
And with that critical, I'll allow you to do one of two things. As you unstrap him, you see at his feet that there is actually a cosh lying there at his feet that perhaps was used to soften him up before they started their work. So if you want, you could actually use that to attack the creature as you're departing. But it's entirely up to you. Alternatively, you could just vamoose, get out of there without any risk of anything happening to you or to the Castries.
You know, yes, a cosh is basically, we're looking at a leather thing that's filled with like buckshot or something like that. So basically smacking him with a sock full of oranges, effectively. A lock in a sock kind of a thing.
Yeah, but you know, it does cause bruising. Does cause bruising, subcutaneous bruising, you know.
No, I'm going to scoop him up and run out of the door. Yes, I'm going to scoop up Mr. DeCastri, and once we're safely away from the building, I'm going to see if he needs a tourniquet or something.
Okay, very good, very good. So you have extracted DeCastri's, or let's say 80% of DeCastri's. 20% of him, well, 10% of him is currently with Milton, let's say. The other 10% is inside the stomach of this Nagai, and you've got the other 80%.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I mean, he's not as mobile as he once was, so, you know, I think I can take him if he decides to have a fight in him.
So, yeah.
Sure.
And you drag him into the wheelchair and then push him as fast as you can out of this charnel room and out into the cold night air of Islington. Whether any passers-by find it a sight, we all have to find out in a minute. But let's get back to the room, because we have a dead Birgit von Kant on the floor. Her body is now almost rigid and has this horrible greenish pallor about it as the poison from the Nagai has flooded her entire body. Dr. Emery, you finished casting your spell. You're still in a highly intense bout of madness. Is there anything you could think of doing that would make sense at this point?
Well, obviously I've exerted magnificent control over this creature. It is now mine to command. And I think the next thing to do is to tell it to rampage through the house and to take out Von Kant's accomplices. Anyone else who might have taken part in the ritual.
Yeah, of course. Does that mean you're going to cast the spell again?
I think so, yes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, all right. Go for it.
I can see no way this can fail.
No.
No.
No way.
No.
With an 80. Well, at least you didn't fumble.
Yes.
Now, of course, given that you're casting the spell for the second time, I will permit you to push it again, if you wish.
Oh, yeah. I've got another arm I haven't torn up with this bone yet, so...
Oh, yeah, you should take a hit point of damage for that, for sure.
That seems fair. I'll make it 2 hit points now, because, yeah, that's got to be the other arm.
And ripping through your tweed, you cut through to the flesh below and intensify your chanting.
And I roll a 93. Oh, magnificent.
Okay. You know what? I think this time we need some more bizarre consequences.
That seems entirely reasonable.
You always know something bad's going to happen when I reach for another book.
Getting the dividends out of those investments, Andy.
Yes. No, this is a good table. I didn't roll in it last time because I thought, well, let's keep it consistent. But now you've tried again. Let's have a D20, please.
With pleasure. That's a 12.
That's a 12. It's not terrible.
Should have screenshotted the look on your face there, Andy.
It was very good.
I was going to say, yeah. But what's that look for?
Oh, well, it's not terrible, but it's probably going to last.
What's your terrible face?
I know. Well, no, because when I read the description, it sounded a lot worse. The caster's hand is withered and burned. That sounds bad. Make a luck roll to determine which hand.
I think it's got to be the one that I just slashed up, hasn't it? Which will be my right hand.
Okay, fair enough. So that is the hand that you're handed with, I guess. Okay, and you lose 1d2 hit points.
No.
That's nothing. But I think you now have a permanently blackened and withered hand, which I think is more the thing.
That seems entirely reasonable. So I lose 2 hit points there.
Okay. Now, Rita, you've probably only got 3 rounds left in your gun. Do you want to use them all?
So I guess I was knocked over onto the floor, so I'm just sodden in all the blood on the floor. I'm going to get up, So is the creature bearing over Milton? Is it?
Yeah, it's essentially got its back to you now. Yeah.
So I'm just... Does it have anything like ears?
No, I don't think so. It's got lots of eyes.
I think I'm just wanting to shoot it again in the head, brain, eye area. Again, three shots. I'm going to empty my revolver. Point blank.
Okay, go for it. Just so you know, the alternative, if you only fired once, you would get a bonus dice because you're at point blank. So it's up to you.
So having fought it before, I know that the point blank thing is the best way to go. So
yeah,
you live and learn, don't you?
Okay, we'll go for it then.
Here we go. Okay, first shot, 42. So that's a success.
That's good.
Oh, 76. No. 95.
Oh, no. Right, you need a very good roll now.
Okay, so my D10 here. 5.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think given that you were knocked down and you were getting up, the blood was slippery on the floor, your aim just was off. And I mean, you have damaged it. You do. One of the rounds does burst through its hide. The others miss. And
I'm trying to, you know, kind of, it's got my back. It's back to me. So I'm kind of bringing my gun to the side and I'm trying to nestle it in next to the eyes and shoot across the eyes. And maybe I kind of miss.
Although the one that did hit has actually blown out one of its larger eyes, and it lets out a howl, and it even staggers to the side. You can see it's really badly wounded from what you've done to it, but it's still on its claws. It's still on its feet, unfortunately. And it's now going to get a chance to attack. And this time it's only got 3 potential targets. Oh dear. Actually, you know what? What is your dexterity, Milton? Because I should have perhaps asked you this last time.
Oh, it's not good. It's 20.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah, so it's definitely going before you. So there's only 3 of you. Why don't you make a group luck roll? Who's got the lowest luck?
29.
Oh, it's you, Emery, isn't it? Of course. Oh no, it's yeah. It's Rita. Rita, okay. Can you make a luck roll, please?
75.
Well, unfortunately, the footsteps of the servants coming down the stairs is all you hear. They have not burst into the room yet to give the thing a few more targets. So it is going to be between the 3 of you. So Rita, Milton, Emery. Emery.
Well, that seems fair.
And Rita.
That seems completely unfair.
I do believe that Dr. Emery is the dodge master of Southeast England, isn't he?
That's true, but on the other hand, I am quite drunk at the moment, so I'll be getting that penalty die on this.
Lardy.
Oh, God. Yes, that's true. That is true.
The lardy man.
Okay, so this time, Rita, the creature's going to try and claw you, and then its big tongue is going to come out and try and lick you. So the claw, that is a hit, just a regular hit. Do you want to try and dodge or even fight back?
I don't rightly have anything to really fight with, do I? I mean, just can I just do fighting brawl?
You can use the gun, the butt of the gun, as an improvised club or something.
Butt of the gun, and that would be fighting brawl, would it?
Yeah, but you'd have to get a hard success with that, so perhaps that's not your best option.
I'm going to try dodging then.
Okay, go for it.
Got 45 in dodge.
You might want to lose. You spend whatever luck you've got left here.
I just rolled 45. Yeah.
No way. Fantastic. All right, so Rita, you avoid its claw, and then its horrible, warty tongue unfurls out of its mouth, and it's going to try and lick you all up your body and your face.
My face?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Oh, but it misses. It misses. So you could... Oh, you've already dodged, so you can't fight back. Okay, so we'll leave it at that. Now, Dr. Emery, I feel like this could be your Waterloo coming. You've only got 6 hit points left, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, it's going to try and claw you, the first attack. That's a hard success.
Okay, well, I'll try to dodge out of the way of that. With a penalty die.
You need a hard... Oh, God. Oh. Oh. 60. I mean, you succeeded. but it's not enough unless you spend 25 luck.
You know, I think I'll spend 25 luck.
Come on, keep him going another attack. Let's keep him alive for another attack.
That's me down to 19 luck.
Okay, well, the claw comes slashing down at you, and in your drunken stupor, how do you describe how you avoid this claw?
I think it's just dumb luck, because I spent luck. So Emery at this stage is just so out of it and so drunk and so maddened that he didn't even notice the attack. It's just that as his hand withered, he dropped the bone shard that he was using to slash himself up and bent over to pick it up just as the claw went where his head was a moment ago.
Excellent, excellent. But the unfortunate thing is that has put you right into the path of its descending mouth as it swoops down to try and bite you. And this could be bad. That's a regular success. Now, Emery.
Okay.
You can dodge again.
And?
But you get a penalty dice.
Sounds like a game show.
That's it. So, yes, the creature tries to bite you. It brings its teeth inches away from your face.
Oh, yeah, that's the point at which Emery looks up, realises it's there, and just his legs scoot out from under him in all the blood, and he's scrabbling around the ground and just somehow gets below the teeth.
Amazing. And the teeth go plunging into the carpet next to you, and the creature lets out a cry of fury as it has been denied. It has been denied.
You idiot! You're attacking the wrong target!
Fantastic. Milton, the creature now is there in front of you. Having sunk its teeth into the ground, it's now vulnerable. You'll get a bonus dice on your attack if you wish to do something to it.
Well, I think that, yeah, given that it's bitten me, and I am going to return the favour and attack it while it's got its teeth sunk into the carpet.
It's biting the carpet, chewing the scenery. Ooh! Look at that. A hard success. That was almost an extreme success. I mean, if you wish to, you could spend 11... I don't know if you got 11 luck, but you could turn that into an extreme, which would give you maximum damage. It's up to you. It's entirely your call.
What would maximum damage be? What? Just straight maximum damage?
It would be 10.
Okay.
10 damage.
And...
Whereas considering the battery goes take him may be enough to take it out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I'm going to do that. How much luck am I spending?
11 luck you need to spend.
11, right. I've got 34, so that would... Yeah, right, take me down to 23. So...
All right, tell me what happens, Milton.
Essentially, I would, given that it's face down on the floor, I'm just going to sort of repeatedly plunge my straight razor into the back of what I imagine its head is, and just keep doing that until it stops twitching and writhing around.
Stop! It still has work to do! There are still servants for it to devour!
What are you talking about?
As its carapace splits open, the bony dome over its head, you found the weak spot, and it opens up like a melon. And inside, its black acorn brains just start flooding out onto the ground, and the thing sinks dead to the floor. And you've done your work, Jack. You've done a good piece of work tonight. And you still have the lower leg for tonight's dinner.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, nothing bites me and walks away from it.
And as you're just lying in the filth and ordure of the room and the dead body parts, Birgit lies dead on the floor. This creature is sort of bubbling and hissing as it seems to be dissolving into the carpet in a pool of fetid rankness. And two of the servants burst through the door and just look in horror at the scene. And they see the look in your eye, Milton, the look of Jack, and they just run screaming out into the street. And yeah, I think that's where we will end it, having never got to the auction.
That was excellent fun.
We'll have to have a shower before we go there.
That was brilliant, guys. I can't believe you all survived. I can't believe you all survived.
I think that's the goriest, most intense combat we've had in our...
Oh, definitely.
That's great.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed that immensely.
It's very, very good.
I was absolutely convinced Emery wasn't going to survive that one.
Well, no, I didn't think I was walking away from there.
Yeah.
I actually thought at least two of you were going to die at that point. Because, but yeah, you got some, you used your luck and you got some good rolls and, well, live to fight another day.
And it occurs to me that if I spent the 20 points of luck in the first place, we would have averted all of this.
It's true. You ended up spending.
But it wouldn't have been anywhere near as much fun.
No.
No.
No, that's true.
Exactly. No.
That's true. All right, guys. Well, look, there's nothing now stopping us from having the auction next time. There really isn't. I mean, you would have to really dig deep.
Challenge accepted.
You know what? The auction's happening right now. You're going to have to get there. All right. No, that was brilliant. Thank you, guys. Always wonderful.
Thank you.
An apple cart, a broken heart. I'm in anything, but he'd rather sing. Toodle-loo-ma-loo-ma, toodle-loo-ma-loo-ma, toodle-lie.
It's thank you time again, and as usual, I wanted to thank all of our backers at all levels. We can't do the show without you. Well, we could, but it wouldn't be anywhere near as good, because with your support and help, we can do all of the extra things that we want to do. I also want to thank all the players, who I realised I haven't really been thanking in our thanks section, so thank you to all the players. I love you all dearly, and I hope that we can continue doing Grizzly Peaks far, far into the future until we're old and grey and can't remember what happened to the last session. Actually, I think that kind of applies to me already, but for the rest of you, you'll get there soon, don't worry. And if you do like our show, which I assume you are if you've listened all the way to the end, then do come and join the fun at patreon.com/grizzlypeaks. Look forward to seeing you there.
Is actually happy to see all of this. Look at all of this. We're getting so much done.
When I was young, I used to go and spend time in the local butchers. It was my older sister's husband was the butcher. And I used to just go there and watch him cutting stuff up. And he was a funny guy. You know, and people used to say, oh, Philip, it's not always animals. So I used to go there and I was always thinking, well, if it's not animals, who is it? And I'd always be looking for who it was. Never saw anything, but, you know, I'd seen kneecaps and shins and the tops of the heads and all those kind of things.
Did someone in your family read A Modest Proposal and didn't realise it was satire?
There's the odd fingertip in a meat pie, and you see it, you say to yourself, secret ingredients.
Extra protein.
Accidents will happen. That's what my mother always used to say. Adds to the flavour.
So what are the chances of us getting to the auction today?
Zero. Literally zero.
Don't mind the rain. He'll mend your umbrella, then go on his way, singing toodle-loo-ma-loo-ma-toodle-ay, toodle-loo-ma-loo-ma-toodle-ay, any umbrellas to mend today.